Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Matt Aguilar here from Comic Book Nation's The Pull List, where we talk all things comics all the time. I got the OG trio in here, Kofi Outlaw and Janelle Wheeler. What's up, everybody?
Hi, hi. Good morning.
Are you ready to talk some comics and some very weird ones, probably, depending on what you read?
Oh, yes.
Not really, but it's my job, so, you know.
Well, let's start off with one of the more interesting, intriguing titles, Spectrograph, number one from Distillery, from the team of James Tynion and Christian Ward. This one has kind of been one that we've been anticipating for a while, because Tynion has a way of launching very unique and different worlds with a lot of times like a very kind of quirky and unique lead character, and then, you know, kind of finding ways to blend relatable things in with a bunch of crazy stuff. This one, I gotta say up front, this one was hard for me. this issue, like, I actually wrote a review yesterday about another book that I was like, man, I have never been more frustrated with like a lead character. No, that was wrong, because I hadn't read this yet. And I read this and I went, I have never been more angry at a lead character in a minute. Again, that was the intended goal, I'm sure. But like the situation, without getting into crazy spoilers, the situation that this person puts themselves in, and then the decisions they continue to make, I was seething by like midway through this book. And I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to root for this person. I hope I don't have to, because I don't like this person at all right now. But that aside, we do set up some larger kind of more mystical things. There's a mystery with the actual house itself and the history. So there's a lot of stuff going on in this book. You know, Kofi, I know you've really liked a lot of Tynion stuff, especially House on the Lake. You know, what do you think about this as a number one, as a this kind of new concept? Were you as pissed off as I was? How you feeling?
No, I mean, you're dancing around it, but no, I don't like let my daddy feels get in the middle of like my literary reading. They're, you know, they're two separate things. And this book has a complicated, I know. Yeah, clearly. this has a complicated setup, and I like complicated characters because they're more interesting than basic characters. And there's also, I think, given the nature of how this book opens up and kind of the occult presence in it, I think you need a character who can, you know, who has that weakness for like a Faustian bargain, which is, you know, doing something you know is a shady deal, but, you know, the allure of what you're going to get, you know, plunges you into something bad, right? It also sets pretty high stakes right off the bat for what this small, seemingly mundane thing is going to really be, and how much of a ticking clock, so that everything that happens in this book, you freak out a little bit. You're like, oh my God, every minute that's lost, everything, you know, is serious. So I think it was good as a first issue. Yeah, it makes it hard to figure out who to root for in this book, I guess, I'm a person whose favorite show is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, whose favorite movie is Seven. So like, these are not
true.
Clearly, I don't need a shining hero in my stories. I like seeing what happens to complicated people who make bad decisions, as long as it kind of plays out in a kind of way that fits, you know, where we're going with thematic arcs and stuff. So far, I will say where I kind of got lost, and I enjoyed this book and I enjoyed the setup as a horror setup. This is pretty good because this is a horror thing, right? Like, it's a horror story. So as a horror setup, this is pretty good. But where it kind of leaves off and what the twist is, I don't think had the impact on me that it should have. Like, by the end, I was more like, okay, so what are we dealing with here? Not so much like, holy crap, this is what we're dealing with here. And so that's where it kind of lost me. And so kind of good setup, but not really good pulling off of the lore itself. And I'm still unclear, like, what lore I'm getting in this. Because, it just got kind of weird towards the end. And then, like I said, the final reveal didn't hit me like I think it was meant to. But I didn't mind the setup, and I didn't mind, you know, the complications of a single mother, you know, trying to.
I don't mind that. I mind the decisions made after. I understand the first part. Like, I understand that part.
You're not going to want to watch certain things then. Like, what was that Apple TV Plus series that I love about the nanny? Oh, I forget what it's called.
Servant.
Servant, yeah. Don't watch Servant then. Never watch that.
Again, like, I had, there were issues there too. There's plenty of issues there. So this brings Janelle.
But just so, like, can we just to set the stage?
No,
like,
we can't. No, we can't.
No, that's no. I'm not going to spoil the comic. Part. I think, like, my heart fell a couple weeks ago when I heard a news story about a woman who left her child and went for a extended vacation in, like, Vegas or somewhere. Story. Yeah, you remember that. Okay, yes. So, yeah, that's, like, where we are in real life. So this, I was like, okay, bad, but, like, not breaking my soul. Real news stories can do that just fine every day. So
yeah, it all breaks me. So this puts us in an interesting place because Janelle is in, I think, a very interesting place to read this book.
Yeah.
What did you think of this?
I actually really liked it. I thought it was, the artwork was really beautiful, and I am very intrigued with the occult and witchcraft, ghosty, just strange, weird stuff that's going on. It was haunting, and the house was really interesting, and I just wanted to know more. What we're talking about, it wasn't really necessary for me. Like, I didn't need it in any way for the storyline. It has nothing to do with anything, so I don't really care. It was very uncomfortable for me as an expecting mom, and it, like, obviously made me feel very uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't understand why we need this. Like, it felt like someone was just trying too hard behind the scenes, like, to upset a reader, but it doesn't have anything to do with, like, ghosts, like, or anything that we need to understand the previous, like, the backstory from, I think it was like 1967 or something like that, into
I think it was 76. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, something like that. It kind of felt like unnecessary, but sure, whatever, do whatever you want. It doesn't make me hate the book. I'm with Kofi. It obviously was uncomfortable. I don't like it, but, you know, the actual meat and potatoes of the book is not that. Like, I'm really excited to kind of, like, watch this as it progresses. Like, they're in this place, they're stuck, there's some spooky weird stuff going on. I'm sure it relates back to the pre-story, and I am very interested in all of that. And again, like I said, this is really pretty. Like, this book was really, really pretty to look at. And I love, it's weird, I don't like horror like movies and TV shows, but I actually, I'm starting to realize I like horror comic books. Maybe it's just easier for me to read or, like, take it in that way. But yeah, like, it's alluring to me and very interesting. I don't feel emotionally attached to any character right now, but that's okay. It's still early, you know, I'm still curious. Right. I want to know what's happening.
Yeah. I think I want, 'cause, like, Kofi touched on it too. Like, one of my other things is that And again, I'm no stranger to like some of the slow burn of these types of books. So like there's a part of me that doesn't quite understand what happens in that like final couple pages where like I don't know what that is. Like I don't understand the significance, not of what the ripple effects are, but literally of what happened in the moment. Like it's really pretty and it's awesome looking, but I don't quite that part's not clicking for me yet. So when that does,
to know,
right, you know, so I'm guessing when it does, yeah. I'm hoping that like I am able to look back at that and go, oh,
maybe we're gonna have like an X-Men moment with the kid or something. Like that's what I don't understand why the kid is even in the book at all.
But I mean, yeah. It's,
and also I don't hate.
I mean,
the book.
I hard disagree about that because I feel like it's important. Like it's a massive character distinction to say, here is this, you know, female character we have, but she is very much not in the mold of what you would expect.
I don't care about her. Mode. I care about the redhead.
Yeah,
she's
but we're
good,
but obviously, but yeah, but a book isn't choose your own adventure, your own character. It's like a story about somebody's kind of transition. So it's either going to be a place of like this lady having to learn she's had the wrong.
Well, then
focuses,
they failed with me. They failed because I'm not interested in the blonde at all. I don't care about her. I don't care about her kid. I don't care about her story. I care about the occult, what it's about. Why are they doing this? What's the house like? I don't care about. If she's the heroine, and, I don't care.
No, I'm sure it's going to be an issue too, but like, it's kind of, I'm not going to argue about storytelling, but like, you need a through person, and there's got to be a point to why we get this distressing thing. I just disagree. It's for shock value. I feel like there has to be a purpose for why we're getting this characterization of this woman who is willing to leave her own child for to chase money. And the promise of wealth and things like that. I feel like there has to be a point. Now, yeah, I'm expecting a ghost baby to show up in this at some point, possibly.
Ooh.
And, you know, then have to deal with all of that. That could be.
Yeah, that would make sense. Crazy. That would definitely.
And that
make
would
sense.
Be. And that's the thing of, look, I'm not, you know, I also, by the way, I don't hate this book because I didn't want that to come across. I really enjoyed this book. That part of it frustrates me because I tend to side more with Janelle on
why
the
are
fact
we,
that like
why are we
I don't
doing
think it was
spoilers?
Super necessary.
Why are we protecting spoilers? Because I feel like we should be like warning. Because
it comes out today, and I'm not gonna spoil like that is a big chunk. I mean, that is actually like a big chunk.
It's
of the book.
First page.
There's like a big chunk.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like it's a trigger. It's, we've been talking about how triggering it could be. I feel like we should maybe like warn people.
I don't
so
know.
There
I
is
don't
some.
Feel...
I'll take the stab at this one. I'll take the heat. Okay. There's a distressing storyline in this book about a mother who is making not the greatest childcare decisions. And it's a recurring theme throughout the book that we have to kind of experience and absorb the fact that there's a distressed child and the mother is not, you know, focused where she needs to be. And the book kind of constantly reminds us of this, and which is obviously an incredibly potentially just up there with like, you know, certain kinds of assault or anything like that, like incredibly triggering subject matter for just about anybody who is not a sociopath. Right. So like and so you should be warned getting into this, that's a component of it. I think some things are worth a trigger warning. This is one of them for somebody, especially like we said, like Janelle, who's, you know, I'm sure has her own slew of already nightmares and pregnancy nightmares about, am I going to do a good job? And then you have to read stuff like this. So like, I think we should just put it out there.
Sorry about that.
Getting,
oh, you're fine. No, seriously. It could be worse, but you know.
And I read a book. Look, we're going to talk about a book later. I read a book on a regular basis called Something is Killing the Children. Like I'm not, opposed to you putting, you know, people in distressing situations and things like that and working that into the story. I just thought for this, again, this is a first issue. So we got plenty of room for things to come full circle and see how that goes. So I'm not making any judgments. But what I am saying is like, boy, that'd be better be a hell of an arc or a hell of a twist to make me like you at all for some very questionable decisions. Let's move into something else because Ultimate Spider-Man number 4 is like the total opposite of of this version of parenting, and we get some big reveals here. Again, there's a lot of like kind of spoilery stuff in these books that I do so want to touch on, but as this series has been doing up to this point, we take established characters from the canon and we put them in unique situations, and the way people are interacting in this, you know, obviously from the last issue, I can't spoil that, right? We know that Harry now knows who Peter is, and we got that big reveal there. And so we really kind of pick up from there. And like most of this issue is a dinner scene. And it is, I found it as, you know, intriguing as some of the other issues where we've had, you know, battle sequences and you know, kind of different locales and locations and stuff. I found this just as intriguing. And it's really just a lot of people interacting around a dinner. You know, Janelle, I know we haven't talked about Ultimate as much with you. How did you feel about this issue?
I am so intrigued. Just seeing these four characters interact the way that they are without the history that, you know, I think they have, like, you know, obviously I'm familiar with, is so crazy. Like, so crazy. It's also, I don't know. Like, I feel like you're put in this position where you have to kind of like pick your favorite again. And I'm like, well, do I like MJ or do I like it's I usually complain about wordy books or like too much talking, not enough action, but this is so satisfying for me because this discussion, if you know, if you're like a moviegoer and you just like, you know, the history just based on like movies of these characters, just even trying to put yourself like, oh my God, if they were all sitting at dinner talking, like it's just, yeah. It's really rewarding and super interesting. And I felt like this state of just unease the whole time. I just felt so uncomfortable. It was like an awkward dinner party. And I was like, oh, something's going to happen. Like something is about to fall. Like something's going to be crazy. No, it's just a really awkward conversation and hangout. And boy, have we all been there. I mean, I can relate to that. So yeah, it was cool. I thought it was a really cool book.
Yeah. Kofi, how are you feeling about it? Cause I think she, like, I love that description. It really is just one awkward conversation. And then also I love how they address that conversation within the story and after, and like all the conversations that take place around it. You know, we get a bunch of people kind of moving in and out of the conversation and side conversations that also have ripple effects for other stuff. How are you feeling about this?
I mean, it's kind of fulfilling what we wanted from this new Ultimate Spider-Man run, which is kind of a familiar world, but kind of remixed in a way that gave us a chance to experience some new dynamics from very veteran and seasoned characters and relationships and all of that. I mean, that was like why we all kind of like gushed about the whole Peter and MJ having kids and still Peter and MJ, but now in this new dynamic. So I think it was a good twist here to see, some of the people that are in Harry Osborn's world and, you know, what this kind of dinner date turns into. It's everything you know from a bunch of Spider-Man lore, but again, remixed in a way that is very intriguing. And I like what Hickman is doing and the level of understanding he has of Spider-Man and these characters and what kind of, and how the authenticity of both, we feel like these would be these characters in this context, having these conversations and having these dynamics, but you know, it also feels like we don't know them enough to know like what's going to happen next or what might come of all of this. And so it's basically the threading the needle of being able to retell Spider-Man over again, but actually have it be compelling, interesting, and pulled off really well. And so like already, what are we on, issue 4 now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm way more at home in this Spider-Man reality than I am in anything in the mainstream Marvel universe for like the last decade. Like I want to live with this Spider-Man, you know what I mean? So I'm in, And yeah, I can't wait to see this world continue to open up and all the interesting things that come out of it. And so, yeah, this was a great issue. And just talk, and you know, we read a lot of talky issues, but this is how you do a talky issue. And any kind of dinner party or dinner or like party or get together or date thing is, any writer will tell you, like, those are the hardest to pull off, because you're writing one mundane surface conversation thing, but there has to be like 50 levels of other subtext that is happening at this party. I was mainly uncomfortable for Peter. I was like, Peter, man, like, you know, just keep your legs crossed out there. Don't show anything, man. Don't show any thirst. Show no thirst for this Gwen Stacy character, which is like such a weird sensation to have. Oh, sorry. Oh, God.
Oh, my God, man. Seriously?
Yeah, sorry. I was just, hey, man, I was just, I got passionate right there. Let's just disguise it. We'll say the Sten Gacy character. There we go. Okay, there we go. Nice
it's,
disguise.
It's really hard not to.
It is. Yeah. It is. Say. It is incredibly hard because she is a huge thing. Part of the issue. Yes. I think actually anyway. After the preview is like 4 pages. I think it's page 5. She comes in. But what I will say, let's leave like her role in it aside. But what I will say is that I really appreciate the honesty in which, like, the conversation that Harry has with Peter when everyone else is away from the table. That conversation was like, it was one of those things where I was just like, thank you for saying it out loud. Right? Like, he makes some just points that like go completely contrast to like what you've kind of come to expect from Peter Parker's outlook on being Spider-Man and having, you know, people in his life and things like that. And he's just in like 5 sentences, just kind of puts the kibosh on that and goes like, no, that's not practical. That's not, you're in a certain position and that's not attainable. Like, I don't think that's so. And the way he handles that, I just think that was everything you want from a Harry and Peter conversation. I just adore this book. This is my Spider-Man book. This is the book I look forward to on a regular basis to get my Spider-Man fix. So I continue to feel that way. Moving real quick into a relaunch of a classic character is Dick Tracy. And I am a huge Dick Tracy fan. I've always loved the character, the cartoons, the movie, all of that. I just love the aesthetic, the kind of procedural thing with the, you know, obviously kind of 1940s, 1950s feel to the mobsters and gangsters. Everyone has everyone's named Mumbles and Flat Top and all that stuff. I just eat it up with a spoon. Okay. So I was very excited for Dick Tracy to come back from Matt Cave Studios. And it's like, number one, this, and the preview shows it, this book like does not hold back at all as far as the making the villains feel like an actual threat. And you know, we get like some, you know, big, this is the opening.
Wow.
This is like the opening, like 4 pages, this whole sequence. And so that sets the stage for kind of Dick Tracy to come in, and, you know, it retains that kind of, you know, that old school kind of vintage charm, and then also makes it like, it's kind of doing the slow rollout of the villains and this whole kind of mafia side of the city, and you're kind of slowly starting to see that, and it's giving, you know, these over the top type of characters some weight in that regard. But it's, you know, it also knows what it is. So I thought it did a really good job of kind of walking that line between that kind of vintage stylings. Obviously this takes place, you know, this is all in the past, right? So it's right in that spot. It's not like some kind of, 2024 modernization of Dick Tracy. So, you know, I would say, like, if you're even remotely kind of interested in the character, or have an affinity for it, I would definitely give this a shot. I think you'll really enjoy it. Again, not, you know, rebuilding the wheel here, right? But I think it was just really fun, the mystery itself and the characters and stuff that it's rolling out is intriguing. And it's just awesome seeing, you know, Dick Tracy, you know, yellow coat, yellow hat, all that stuff move throughout this world. And it just, it knows what it is. So I thought this was really fun. I'll be sticking with it.
I regret not choosing this one, Matt, straight up. Like, as I was reading one of the other ones that we'll talk about, I was like, dang it, I should have done Dick Tracy. So now I'm like, well, I have it. I might as well go read it.
It's, you know, super, super fun. Let's move into, okay, so here's a book that I literally put in the chat.
Like, I read this.
Did you read it? I never assume you read it. I always try not to, throw a bunch of stuff on you.
Bro, okay. I'm, like, the only person in this goddamn website that watches and reads everything.
No, I just consider it, and I was like, no, I didn't expect you to read it.
Crazy friend. Yeah, you got, Jonas, don't assume you know me. I know I'm out here doing stuff, making moves. I read Dick
He's
Tracy.
He's in the theater watching the movies for us.
Yeah, no, I was a big Dick Tracy cartoon movie head, comic strip head. Like, yeah, so, this is kind of what we see, like, in some of the other things, like the Energon universe with Transformers and G.I. Joe. It's kind of encapsulating the vintage feel, but also adding kind of a modern edge to it. This is much more modern noir with a hard edge, you know. The iconic Dick Tracy gangsters are actual gangsters. This is treating this as if, not as if these people come with Tommy guns and shoot up and everybody just is dancing on the street around bullets. Like, as you can see in the artwork, no, people get murdered by these people who are running around, and which is kind of true of post-World War II America. This is 1947, I believe. And like, you know, the rise of organized crime was a big thing for this time period. So, yeah, these people are kind of murdering with impunity, and they're scary, you know, these goofy gangsters from the Dick Tracy lineup. But I think the only kind of weird part of it for me was this issue makes Dick Tracy himself like less human and more archetype. He's just like more like, I'm going to fight these villains. They'll catch fisticuffs, like blah, 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 blah. And it's just kind of like, okay, that's good. But I hope further issues begin to peel back like Dick Tracy, the man. Like, why is this cop like this? Why is he so hell-bent on justice? Like, why is he willing to go? I mean, like, there's, you know, there's some near-death. This is pretty gangster in this thing. Like, there's drive-bys and people are getting lit up. So, like, why is he in it to, you know, and why this city? And so all of that and getting to the heart of the Dick Tracy character, because I think that's the hardest part. In modern noir, we need our detectives to be flawed. They got to be complex. Like, just having an all-shucks gumshoe who always shoots straight is like, it's not enough anymore. So I hope we get to the man himself. But this issue was just about kind of introducing the world of Dick Tracy. And it does that. Like the old timey talk, you know, the old timey feel. But again, like with real stakes and real danger, like there's a scene where a woman just getting cornered in an office feels like, oh man, this could turn into something like really bad. So yeah, stay dangerous, Dick Tracy. And I read this.
Yeah. And then I like how that scene also turns around, right? I actually like how they, you know, also treat her as well as we move forward. And I want to see more development there between those two, right? Because things kind of start out antagonistically between them. And I like his reaction to it. I thought that was actually good too. That's a good moment of like, oh, okay, she's gonna be really valuable. I know you hate me right now, but like he's able to see like what that could be. And like see like her as an ally, a valuable ally, as opposed to just being, you know, making an assumption based on their initial reaction, like interaction. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, I agree. I want to see more about him as we move forward. But I still want some of that. Aw, shucks. It's kind of one of the things that's like built in to the character. So I want them to walk a line. It's difficult. I'm asking for, you know. I'm asking for golden trees here. I know. But I hope we get that. All right. So to a book that I put in the chat, cause I didn't realize this book was happening. And then I was like, oh my God, like what is this? It is, Pooh versus Bambi. Number one, just because the premise, you had me at the title of the book. I have to at least see, like, I have to know what it is. And essentially, this is a, you know, Pooh is one of Pooh and Bambi, are part of this kind of, mercenary military group that works for the government. And then things about their past are revealed and things kind of go bad. And so now we're really starting. This book is really kind of the revelations of that, and really kind of gives you everything you need to know. I mean, it's actually a pretty thorough first issue. I mean, you get a lot of information, but I thought they did a pretty good job of, like, I was invested all the way through, and seeing how they, what they do with certain characters, you know, Eeyore, Tigger, you know, Piglet, some of these characters, Robin, it is, I was intrigued all the way through, and just, it's bananas at some points, just seeing, you know, Pooh, like, you know, wield a rocket launcher and, like, go in here and, like, do all this stuff. And then kind of after something happens, seeing the fallout of that and how that goes, I'm going to stick with this book. I did not see this coming, but I kind of got, I got to know what happens now. that's where I stand. Kofi, how did you feel about this?
I started it, then I skimmed it. There's only so much I can take in. Some of the stuff gets, what is wrong with y'all, man? Like, seriously, like, what is wrong with people? Like, what is this weird Winnie the Pooh kink everybody fell into, like, lately? Like, we get Pooh public horror domain movies. Now. Oh, is that what it is? Is that why? Okay, I see.
Yeah, so that's all right, so it's the same thing with what's his name? Movies. Mickey.
Oh, Mickey Mouse. Just. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steamboat.
So now
Mickey,
you're seeing all the Mickey stuff hit because it's all public domain. Yeah.
Well, that, I get that explains a lot, because I was just shaking my head like, what are people's obsessions? Did I miss a furry convention or something? Like, is this like the new thing? It's like Pooh Play. Like, what is happening? Like, yeah. I love you, man, but there's certain things that just stretch it too far. And by the time I saw Pooh, like, having PTSD from blowing away or, like, one of his friends, I was like, okay, I'm out. Like, I can't. This is too much.
It's traumatic, Kofi.
There's a point where comics get too comic booky for me, and I was like, this is it. So I'm going back to skim it, because I remembered that I had just bailed out on this when I was like, I can't. But
you also read
I don't
a
think
lot.
This is going to be. Yeah, I have. I read much more than this. This was, I have to get out sometimes when I'm just like, I feel like I'm slogging through something I'm going to be mad about. And I already did one of those this week, when hopefully we'll get to that book.
Yeah.
Janelle, what did you think? Did you skim?
I was,
is that
no.
really the last line? Now I'm more mad. Oh my God. Oh,
oh no. Well, you probably won't like my answer. I freaking loved this. I thought it was so funny and fun and, like, it's relatable, like, because obviously these characters, I grew up with them, so it's so funny to me. I just, you know, obviously I don't take it too seriously, but I did slog through another book prior to this, so this was, like, refreshing for me. And I was like, oh, thank God there's action happening. And I know I always talk about the artwork, but this artwork is banging. Like, this is crazy. Like, the detail awesome. On these animals and the muscles bulging and the blood and the weaponry, like, it's really well drawn, and, you know, the story is nothing, it's a right. typical storyline that we've probably seen play out in books and movies and TV shows over and over and over again, but I am so intrigued with it. I even love, like, the super soldier serum type references. Like, it's just, it's easy, right? It's, like, easy to consume, and just fun. And I think it's so funny. I am, at least they made them into, like, action stars and not horror villains, like with Mickey. I hate what they've done to Mickey. Like, so many properties all turn Mickey into, like, a vengeful, awful, scary, like, murdering, horrible thing. Like, at least with Pooh and Tigger, and they're all, like, action stars, which is just way
well,
more fun.
And to be fair, Pooh did get his horror franchise.
He is
multi, he has branched.
Oh,
he has branched out.
I don't even want to know about it.
He's a branding empire there. Mickey will get his day. Okay, Mickey will get his action star day. I know we got to hit some other books, but I am so glad, Janelle.
No,
we're gonna keep that as
we
can
talk
see.
About one book and one book only that you
what is the book
us with. We all know
what did I do.
You made us read Operation Sunshine, is what you did.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it.
Again, I didn't make you. I put it on the list and said, hey, if you want to read this, go ahead.
I just
you also
like
sent it. No, you sent it to
Florida.
A PDF to us. And I was like, anything you said
to
the
Janelle,
because
she said she wanted to read it. I don't make you read things.
Is this part of a larger series? Like, what is this thing?
Yeah, I'm so
this
confused.
Is a new volume of a of an established series, and this is kind of picking up from there. But it's a onboarding point, and
FOH. It is not an onboarding of anything.
Kofi, you're nailing it.
I felt like I had taken drugs like several times trying to read through this. I was like, what is happening to me? Like, why is my brain cognitively like starting to do skips? Like, and I was just like, yeah, the monologue, like the artwork, like I'm sure if you're invested in this world from the other volumes, like it's great to see where everybody is in this, but this is not an onboarding. This was so much that I literally stopped reading comics for like I think a day. When did you send this? Cause it was like, I had to get back and be like,
I was early this time. Yeah, I hit it a couple
days it was over the weekend. So I ended up like having to rush and stay awake last night because this one was so off-putting. I just stopped reading comics for like days on end. I was just like, I can't. Like, and then I went back and finally last night was like, oh God, I don't think I've actually like read anything. So then I read 10 things last night. But like, yeah, man, I don't know. Maybe you guys seem to have a united, different opinion than me. So
I'm going to go in a different direction. 1,000%. This was so hard for me to get through. And I was just holding out hope for references to Florida and then seeing like gators on the cover. I was just like, oh, maybe this will like, I'll recognize a place that they're going to, or maybe can we just thumbs down this and move on?
Look, I didn't hate this. Like you guys, number one, I love Dave Rubin artwork. But I agree. It was not new reader friendly. I didn't think so at all. And I did not expect going into it. So that's why I put it on here. Hence, that was my bad. So that was my bad. But yes, I do understand wholeheartedly. Okay, so Janelle, did you like the other book you read more, which is Universal Monsters Creature of the Black Lagoon?
Yes, loved this. I read this one first and I was just all in, and I don't even know a lot about this character or this
story.
I don't know
about Florida.
Yeah, is he a villain? I don't know. I don't think
he's
Florida.
The state of Florida embodied in a monster.
Oh, but they're in like...
No, I'm just joking.
I was like,
he's not being real.
I was like, maybe I missed
it's
something.
It's such a troll, dude.
I'm like, maybe I... Who knows? I trust these guys so wholeheartedly. They could probably
do
like...
Do not do that.
No, don't trust Kofi.
But I feel like it was really, really well written. It's not too wordy, but it's so intriguing. They set up the backstory. I don't know her. I don't know the lead character, but I want to. I want to know her story. I understand everything. It's easy to follow. I appreciate that. I just appreciate a book that you can just jump right in. You understand the story. You're intrigued by the story. You want to keep reading. And then at the end, you're like, oh man, where's this going? It just kind of hit every note for me.
That is awesome to hear. I'm glad that... Kofi, did you read this one?
Oh, no, I unfortunately have to keep up with a lot of the X-Men stuff, too. So,
That's a perfect segue, actually. So let's get to that, because we got some big X books here. I know you haven't been so high on some of the books, but I know Wolverine's been a consistent, right? Did that deliver again?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of the Sabretooth War. Wolverine's been like the shining. I'm so glad this story is set aside and before the actual fall of X-Mess. Because Sabretooth War has been one of the best Wolverine crossovers we've had in a lot of years. And I like that they even leveled up and were like, don't, you know, it's not for kids. It's bloody, it's brutal, it's violent, but like it does get to the heart of Wolverine and Sabretooth and their relationship and their psychosis. So I'm loving this. It's this other Rise of the Powers and Fall of the House and X-Men's Forever, where I've never seen quite so much pep about nothing happening. Like Fall of X is one big, long, spread out, detailed, like one thing is going to happen here. The X-Men are going to go to war with Orcus. The machines are going to launch a Sentinel City. And Xavier is going to try some weird time travel scheme to undo it all. And every issue of this has dragged out at least a piece of this story to some excruciating degree. I'm so sick of hearing about two different Krakoas and Atlantic and Pacific and White Hot Rooms and Phoenixes and Xavier and Moira. And like, man, this, I love the Krakoa era, but like two people who have been grossly so mishandled by this era will go down in history as Moira and Charles. Just complete, like, yeah, like, just screwed the pooch. And this thing with Xavier in this issue, I can't even follow the plot of who Xavier is anymore by the end of this. Like, he's been mystery guy in helmet, sinister clone, and now I don't even know what the hell we're doing. He's just murdering people. Like, and it's just like, okay. Yeah. And yeah, this has kind of really just jumped the shark for me. So, but I'll be
from
here covering
where it. Xavier and Moira started as being like, especially Moira as being one of the, oh my God, like what a reinvention of the character. We praised what was being done with her and like making her such a, like, you know, giving her such a vital importance and just making her this, you know, completely different, not completely different, but really just reinventing her. And to see where it is now, it's just like, man, what, what happened? And Xavier, you're right. Xavier, I just feel like midway through, they just didn't know what to do with him. And we've just, that's where we are now. So I think some characters will greatly benefit from the relaunch and kind of getting a clean slate. And Xavier's probably one of them, which is unfortunate. Seeing where it started, I liked weird. I can't see your eyes in the
helmet. Me too. And I thought there was, we all remember all the conversation we had about what kind of payoff this was going to be with Charles kind of removed and all this and where we were going with this. We ain't go nowhere. So
nah, bro.
I read all the X-Men stuff and Penguin is still cooking in DC. There you go.
And so I was sad to see that obviously it is coming to an end, Penguin, but this issue again, man, I just want to see, look, I want to see this team just take on like the rest of Batman's villains. I'm cool with that. I want to give Tom King, some of the other villains, give him a Riddler book, but like not, you know, just like make it about Riddler like this has been and really just diving into that character. I'd be happy. Oh my God. The Ventriloquist, like give him some weird characters and just let him go to town. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I need an epic Mr. Scarface story.
Yes,
all,
oh my God,
but like all the dummy hardly see the ventriloquist, and it's just like him.
Yes, magic. Real quick, I do want to hit a couple of books. Feral, I talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I think the main theme of this week was like books that just like had me just all in my feelings. I was heartbroken like the entire week, right? The entire weekend. This book just. Oh man, like it's very much, I described it as a roller coaster ride in my full review, and it very much is. Like, it was in the first like six pages, like I had gone from highs to lows three different times, and it just wrecks you. And the way it does, like Stray Dogs did, where it just dives into real, you know, elements of owning a pet and things you'll encounter along the way, and just turning those into heartbreaking situations and that endear you to the characters more, and that makes the high stakes moments hit even more. It's just, and the artwork is gorgeous, you know, it's like a, you know, Don Bluth movie come to life, and yet it's so incredibly brutal at times, it's hard to look at. So it just has me all over the place. And Something Is Killing the Children also has me like that, but this story takes place, this actually jumps back in time a little bit. This is the Road Stories arc. And we go 5 years into the past, but just like Tynion's so good at like making, revealing so much and also like expanding the world when he jumps back into the past, as opposed to other books where it just kind of feels like, you know, you're retreading ground you've already been on. This never feels that way. And we're like essentially like get a whole other way to like create monsters and then also learn more about Erica's past and the falling out with the Order. It's just impressive what this book continues to do. Duke number 5, the Energon universe is just kicking, and this one, man, if you've been waiting for that Destro battle. You got your wish. This is so cool. I just love what they're doing in the G.I. Joe side of things. And then also we really start to bring this back in to what the initial, you know, issue set up with the Transformers and how that has to do with Duke's, you know, current outlook and things. We bring that full circle. So very excited for this. And then Drawing Blood, number one. It's a book from Kevin Eastman. And this is, I there was also another theme, which was like procedurals. Like there was, and also just kind of like mob stories. There was a lot of that in the books I read this week. Drawing Blood is essentially like, what if a cartoonist ended up essentially like owing a debt to, you know, this mob group. And then also like, what if some of those, there's also a little bit of like that uncanny valley element of like, you don't know what's real and what's not, because there's like parts of the cartoon and books that he's done in his past, like coming to life. And you're like, okay, is that all in his head? Is it not? This is some really interesting things at play along that are also kind of mixed in with this crime story of just this dude trying to survive. And after he's screwed over, you know, make it out alive of this situation. So it's a really interesting mix. I really dug it. So I definitely recommend people seeking that out.
It's really cool artwork.
And yeah, it's really cool. It's a cool premise too. And then finally, of course, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 119, Darkest Hour. It was also recently announced that Mighty Morphin will be coming to this saga will be coming to an end after 8 years. This book has been running for 8 years. Will be coming to an end with Darkest Hour number one later this year. And the stuff they're building here, it's just really impressive, like how far back they're reaching into the Power Rangers lore and messing with it, and then also actually reaching into the Boom Studios comics lore of things that have been relatively untouched, and they're actually utilizing those things and bringing them into relevance. It's really, really cool if you've been following along. Kofi, any books you wanted to touch on before we head out?
I've aired my grievances, and now the time for grievances is over. So, no. Now, I'm having a good time just kind of trapezing through everything we got to read for this show, and like everything we do read for the show. I don't know, whatever time do I have? Go read some manga. Screw America.
There you go. Yeah. Janelle, anything you want to, parting comments you want to leave of the comics this week?
I love the poll list. It's so awesome to be able to come on here once in a while, because I, you know, we were covering a ton of comics on the main show and I've missed it. So if anybody listening has any suggestions of anything they'd like for me to read, please always feel free to tweet Matt or me or Kofi, or the main page for us on X or Twitter, whatever the heck you want to call it. And I would be happy to give you like a first react of that too, even if it's an older book or something like that. Feel free. And I love it. You guys, I owe you so much to getting me into like full blown like comic reading. And I love it. It's great.
You would have never read Pooh versus Bambi. I'm sorry. I apologize for Operation Sunshine to everyone. It seems, but yeah, you strike out every once in a while. I'm sorry. Yeah. Until next week, we gotta go. So thank you so much for everyone for listening and following along with us. Until next, you can also check out our main show on Friday. We do touch on comics every so often there, but we got a ton coming up this Friday to talk about. We touch on every other part of geek culture. You can also check out Anime Initiative on Tuesdays. You can check out, of course, the pull list right here on Wednesdays. And then Quick Save airs every Thursday. And plus, there is a ton of content on the audio feeds and Comic Book Nation's YouTube page. So until next week, deuces.